From Springfield, this is State Week, a program of analysis and commentary on the events that made news this past week in Illinois state government and politics.
A newly released FBI recording of Democratic gubernatorial candidate J.B. Pritzker is causing a deep split in the African-American community. On the wiretap, Pritzker is heard making disparaging comments about two high-profile African-American politicians.
Jesse White, he's totally, he's Senate material in a way that Emil Jones isn't, if I may say.
Okay.
He's just, I don't know how to say it exactly, but Emil's a little more crass.
Right.
I don't want him to come to me and apologize to me. He insulted my whole community.
You know, but if you're forced to put an African American in the spot with the one that is least offensive and maybe gets you the most because it gets you that Secretary of State appointment is Jesse White.
On that call, I was not my best self. I can be better. I have been better. And I can do better.
I've had the great pleasure of knowing J.B. Pritzker for almost 40 years. I know where his heart is. I know where he is. I know about our relationship, and I was not offended by it.
Now, decision 2018 and the Republican primary for governor. State Representative Jeannie Ives defends her controversial campaign ad, despite calls to take it down from some people in her own party.
Thank you for signing legislation that lets me use the girls' bathroom.
Thank you for making all Illinois families pay for my abortion.
The commercial does not attack people. It tackles issues.
The Rauner campaign says, quote, this TV ad has no place in Illinois. It just shows how unelectable Representative Ives really is.
Republican Jeannie Ives stirring things up with an ad that, let's just say, is controversial. Also, the Democrat J.B. Pritzker again having to defend some phone conversations from a decade ago with Rod Blagojevich. Meanwhile, one of his primary opponents, Daniel Biss, seems to be making some inroads in the race for governor. And also, the income tax hike approved last summer, well, it didn't solve all of the state's budget problems. We'll get an update on that and talk about more coming up on State Week. In Springfield, I'm Sean Crawford, and our panel includes Charlie Wheeler. Charlie is director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. And also in studio with us, Brian Mackey, Illinois Public Radio's Statehouse reporter. And joining us by phone, it's Amanda Vinicky with WTTW Public TV and Chicago Tonight. And Amanda, always good to have you back on.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Amanda, let's talk about the remarks that we heard on tape from J.B. Pritzker, this FBI wiretap that captured this conversation between him and Rod Blagojevich a decade ago. We've been hearing a lot of it, thanks in much part to Bruce Rauner and TV ads he's been running. But this one this week that got released involves him talking about specifically the Senate appointment that was Barack Obama's old Senate seat. What's going on there, and what's so controversial about that?
Well, and Sean, I do expect that we will be hearing more of this conversation just as soon as the governor's campaign has a chance to make it into an ad it can air on TV. The difference being that what we've been hearing thus far is basically Pritzker angling for a position for himself. At this point in time, he is talking with Blagojevich at a time that it was well known Blagojevich was under some sort of federal scrutiny and trying to, as you noted there, Sean, secure somebody, figure out who it would be that the governor would use his powers to appoint to the U.S. Senate. To me, there are two separate conversations. One is what it means in terms of the divide in the African-American community, the comments that we heard calling former State Senate President Emil Jones, quote, crass, and then further calling Secretary of State Jesse White, quote, the least offensive, and what that means. Some African-Americans very deeply offended by that. Others who stood by Pritzker, one, in fact, a Chicago alderman, saying he's offended that people are trying to make this into something that is racially offensive when it was a conversation, a frank talk between two individuals who knew Jones and White personally, and that this shouldn't be taken as something that is trying to be painted as Pritzker's commentary on an entire race of people. But then there's the second part of it, and that is, what does this conversation mean in general about Pritzker and his relationship with Rod Blagojevich, his role in just in general, a political maneuver, mover, and shaker And what Senator Daniel Biss has said is, what does this mean when you have two white guys that are trying to figure out what black guy will be best? And it shows the privilege that is associated often with both race and, of course, money, which is Pritzker's entree to Blagojevich.
Yeah, and let's think here that here we are, four white people on this panel talking about this, so we should acknowledge that. But, you know, we look to people like Mary Mitchell, who wrote a column in the Sun-Times about this and said, you know, that Pritzker got caught saying the very things that a lot of black people suspect white people say when there are no black people in the room. And I think that that's a quote from a column she wrote on this. And I think that that's what the issue is here. You know, there's been a long tradition in Illinois politics of, you know, you have should certain seats go to a certain ethnicity? Do you know, how do you achieve that balance? And you have this sort of, I mean, if you listen to the full tape, and we should mention here that this came out in a Chicago Tribune article, which sort of purported to look at race, but there have been some other people have been raising questions about the timing of this. But, you know, if you look at the basic issue here is that Pritzker now is having to respond to this. He's not running the sort of campaign he wants to. He had the basically unimpeded last year or so to run whatever ads he wanted to and talk about himself in the way he wanted to. And now he's really having to be reactive. And people have asked him, well, is there more? Is the Tribune going to come out with another set of Blagojevich tapes where you're saying something else? And he says he doesn't know because he said he didn't even really remember this conversation. So this is really shaking up, to use a cliche, shaking up the gubernatorial campaign and creating a brand new dynamic here that's going to be very interesting in the next month.
And Charlie, do you think this hurts Pritzker? I mean, in a way that's lasting. I mean, beyond just this week and the press coverage that this has gotten immediately, does it hurt him going forward?
Well, I think it will, in the sense that if Bruce Rauner is the Republican candidate, we'll hear this tape and we'll hear Pritzker's description of former Senate President Emil Jones, Secretary of State Jesse White, over and over and over again. And as Brian said, who knows what else might be out there that would be even more damaging to Pritzker. But I would add, I was not surprised in the sense that those are the kind of conversations that go on all the time privately among political figures, trying to figure out how do we meet the ethnicity component of putting together a slate. I know for many years in Cook County, there were certain judgeships that were considered to be, well, this is a Jewish judgeship. And so when there's an opening, we have to slate someone else who is Jewish. Or this is a Polish judgeship. We have to slate somebody else who's a Pole or other ethnic things. And it's not so much a racial prejudice as it is a recognition of the diversity in trying to make all people happy.
To me, Charlie, that is the one component. The other portion is that regardless of whether it is commonplace, and it presumably is, many people, I probably wouldn't want every phone conversation I've ever had, of course, displayed and for the whole world to hear on a TV screen ad nauseum. And yet it is just the sort of conversation, even if outside of any sort of racial component, that people will say, wait, that's how this person who's portraying himself on my TV is just a gracious, giving guy who cares about the good of all people, that's how they talk? And that is, to me, damaging. It plays very much to the what people don't like about politics and politicians, period.
And I would just emphasize one other thing that you mentioned earlier, Amanda, which is that in November, I believe it was November or December of 2008, when this conversation would have been taking place, it was well known that Rod Blagojevich was, I think you used the term, scrutiny, investigation. Lisa Madigan had long since put out that letter where she said, you know, the U.S. attorney is investigating endemic hiring fraud or corruption or something like that. I mean, this was well known that Rod Blagojevich was under a microscope And so, it had not, I think, been reported yet that his conversations were being tapped. But why are you trying to – who is ingratiating that? I mean, remember those of us who covered the governor. I mean, he was definitely on his third or fourth tier of staff at that point. A lot of the people who started out with him when he was thought to be a young, optimistic, going to sweep in first Democratic governor in 26 years, a lot of those people had jumped ship already. So who was still trying to ingratiate themselves with Rod Blagojevich? And what does that say about their judgment? I mean, that's something that Democratic primary voters are going to have to consider.
And I thought it was interesting to hear from the a couple of his opponents. I believe Daniel Biss called it disgusting what he'd heard. But then also Chris Kennedy, and I like the quote that Chris Kennedy had that was interesting, was saying our true character shows when we think no one is watching. Well, somebody was watching, as you mentioned, Brian. We knew that he was under scrutiny. That, I think, is what boggles my mind more about it. Go ahead, Amanda.
Yeah, I mean, Sean, no, that's exactly to that. We can listen to sort of conversations that people are having when nobody is watching, when nobody is listening. And so that is a question to ask. In fact, we did at that press conference, which was held at a soul food restaurant in Austin. Again, Pritzker showed up, said it was not his best self. He regrets portions of that conversation. And yet we asked, why were you having these conversations? Why did you were not an elected official. Why did you insert yourself into this conversation? How often were you talking to Blagojevich at that point in time? And his reaction was, he said that, I believe in good people should be in public service, and that helps everybody. And Blagojevich was the one who had the power of appointment. But when you pair this phone conversation, so take that at face value. Pritzker just wants to make sure that maybe it's an African-American or that it's Jesse White versus somebody who would lose a seat for Democrats. But then pair that with the earlier conversations that we've already heard where, to use the word ingratiating again, it is very much Pritzker trying to, it seems, kiss up almost to Blagojevich so that he can get an appointment as treasurer if, in fact, that seat becomes available, where you tie the two together and it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, most certainly, at a very pivotal point for Pritzker, because polling now shows that he is losing ground. He had been the front runner, kind of just holding on there.
Well, that's something else I think is worth pointing out, is that the timing of this doesn't help Pritzker, because he seems to be sliding at least a bit. He almost was given the nomination by many people, including probably many in the media who have viewed him as the front runner from day one because of his wealth. And then all of a sudden we're starting to at least see, and I know you can't believe the polls, we've learned that lesson, but at least some internal polling showing as well that Daniel Biss is making some inroads there. So, is he a candidate who's basically starting to get a little more fearful of this? Brian, what's your thought with that?
Well, I mean, this is a man who he would not have been having that conversation with Rod Blagojevich if he had not been born into the Hyatt Hotel family, right? Because he wouldn't have been a billionaire and he wouldn't have been a big money, presumably. I mean, the fact is that I wasn't able to call Rod Blagojevich and get him on the phone to talk about my thoughts about who would be the best public servant to fill the Obama vacancy. I don't think anyone on this conversation would have been, because we didn't have billions of dollars that we were willing to throw around in political campaign contributions. And I think it's the same thing that's right now. Pritzker's real, he talks about being a businessman, but if he did not have all this money, and they use euphemisms like, well, he's going to support the Democratic ticket. He's going to support Democrats up and down the ticket throughout this state, which is a way of saying he can help financially, vitalize. I guess it doesn't need to be revitalized. It's pretty vital financially right now, but he can help put even more money into Democratic politics, particularly at a time when Democrats are worried about, the Supreme Court could put a major crimp on labor unions' ability to support Democratic politics in the next couple of years. The U.S. Supreme Court and the decision we're expecting this year. So Democrats are eager to have somebody who can support them with this money. Like we said earlier, so I guess getting back to your question, Sean, does this suggest Pritzker is having some challenges? Well, he's finally got a real campaign on his hands. He basically had the field to himself for the most of the last year because no one had anywhere near the money that Pritzker had. And, Pritzker has had one campaign donor this entire time, and it's J.B. Pritzker. He is completely 100% self-funded. Now
intentionally so.
What's intentionally?
This is not an indication.
No, it's not.
Elsewhere.
No, no, it doesn't.
It's its own conversation, but yeah.
Right, right, right. No, but I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that his opponents, while raising millions of dollars, at least in the case of Daniel Biss, it's just nowhere near the tens of millions of dollars he's contributed to himself. And now he finally has a real campaign because Governor Rauner is going after him. At the same time, State Senator Daniel Biss is going after him. Chris Kennedy is still ramping up, it seems, and he's sliding in the polls because he just does not have the same financial wherewithal as the other two to go on TV.
Well, and to me, I have constantly just been sort of, you know, talking to folks in casual conversation, not necessarily those who are hyper aware of politics, but a comment that I've just heard is, well, you know, I like X candidate, often, let's say, Senator Biss, maybe it's Kennedy, but more often than not Biss, but it seems like a wasted vote because Pritzker has it in the bag, is what had been the thought. And that is changing. And that very much hurts Pritzker. He was helped by classically having front runner status, thinking that there was no chance he would lose it. And now this is even just the tenor of the conversation that there is a race can give a boost to, in particular, Biss. Maybe Kennedy if he gets his act together soon, but in saying, hey, wait, no, we are in the running. Give us your money. It will be worth your while. If you think that donating to me before would have been just money down the drain, this now has a poll out, and it is one of a couple of polls showing that he is really on Pritzker's heel.
And we see Pritzker running, and I'll wrap it up so we can move on, but Pritzker is now running ads against Daniel Biss, which is new. Pritzker had, if you were watching his television advertising, you would have think that he was running unopposed because he was completely focusing his efforts on Governor Rauner. And now he is finally turning his attention to his Democratic primary opponents, which I think is an indication that he views them as more serious threats than they would have been a short time ago.
And we're seeing the same thing on the Republican side because now Governor Bruce Rauner is also paying attention to his primary opponent. You know, what a difference a week makes. On this show last week, Charlie, we talked about how Jeannie Ives really sort of gave it to Bruce Rauner during that Chicago Tribune editorial board meeting, and she really went on him about not keeping his promises to conservatives and such. Then she launches this TV ad, which pretty much everybody, at least who is more the traditional Republicans, the people who are, I would consider, either the moderates, even many conservatives, have come out and said this ad is over the top. And you know, we heard some of it at the start of the show. Does this pretty much do her in at this point?
I wouldn't say that it does her in. I would say I looked at that ad and I found it to be repugnant, repulsive, despicable, any other pejorative you'd like to label it. It offended me morally, ethically, but on the other hand, it was brilliant because here we are talking about it, mm-hmm. and it's been heard and discussed and in the media all across the state, and she's gotten more
all
free—
across the nation.
Yeah, and she's got more free publicity, and she was somebody who's basically unknown, and now people know who she is.
Well, in fairness, I mean, if this is how she truly views these issues, you know, she's at least putting it out there in front of the public.
She's not at all hypocritical. Right. No, this is exactly how she views the issues. And that's why she says, what's the problem with it? I had a transgender individual come to my house, and that's what they look like.
But it does help Bruce Rauner. Does it, Amanda, doesn't it seem to make Bruce Rauner sort of say, hey, I'm more moderate than this person. I'm somebody more electable. And not just in this race, but it allows him to sort of, you know, keep that distance here in the primary that may translate into the general election.
Rauner had been trying to cast Ives, if at all. He was trying to ignore her, but when her name came up, characterized her as a fringe candidate. And for any moderate Republican who sees this ad and is turned off by it, if they'd been looking for an alternative, if they'd been considering Jeannie Ives, more than likely they won't anymore thanks to that ad. It does, however, play to her base very much. The question being, will it help her introduce herself to a base that maybe hadn't been aware of her, particularly downstate? I don't think we can write either candidate off at this point in time. I mean, people have said there's no way that Rauner could lose this thing. And, of course, he's an incumbent governor. He's got all the money. What we just don't know, we've seen now, again, polling that shows how very, very unpopular he is. This ad does not make him, I don't think, any more popular. Yes, it may make him look to some more reasonable, but there are still a whole lot of frustrated Republicans and the moderate Democrats that he counted on last time around who were done with Quinn. They're not, I don't think, going to be for Rauner now because of this ad.
Well, and I would say that that analysis is particularly true for the general election, but the question in the before us now is, what's going to happen in the primary? Who are the people who are going to show up on March 20th or have already started to show up, ask for Republican ballots? Are they people who will embrace Ives because of her anti-abortion position and who are down on Rauner because he signed the bill, as we heard in the clip, misrepresentation that now everybody's going to be paying for my abortions?
I'm guessing a low turnout for the primary, so anything's possible when you get a low turnout.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You never know. And obviously, the Republican voter in Illinois tends to be a lot more conservative, a lot more concerned with those social issues than the typical Democratic voter. So as Amanda said, in the general, this kind of ad portrays Rauner as an individual who might be more attractive to the broad Illinois electorate. But in a Republican primary, that's another question.
And you know, and I think that one thing we learned last year, I guess it was 2 years ago, now in the 2016 election, is that a lot of Republican voters are looking for somebody who just kind of is willing to poke fun at the establishment, and you know, and sort of carries the spirit. You know, we heard this kind of became a cliche, but people would say, "Well, I don't take Donald Trump literally, but I take him seriously." And so, if you are watching a lot of Fox News, if that's where you get your news from, and you saw Governor Rauner's widely panned interview there, where he was just kind of looked like any other politician, dodging the questions and not really, taking the positions that the host thought were kind of, the host was handing him softballs and he was just not even swinging at them on that Fox News interview. And so if you are that sort of voter and you see this ad, and maybe, you don't take it.
You appreciate perhaps.
You appreciate that this is somebody who is going after just another boring establishment governor who let us down. And look, my taxes are higher now. And, I don't really follow everything day to day down there, but I heard we had a shutdown and this, that, and the other thing. Maybe we should give her a chance.
And Brian, we have a spotlight on the governor next week because the budget address is coming. This week, we heard a little bit of budget news as well from the budget director for the governor. And he talked about the need for more another spending bill to go through. And there's some real concerns that the state doesn't have enough money right now to get through the fiscal year, and at least in a couple of agencies.
Yeah. I mean, the balance that was passed by Democrats and about 16 Republicans in the legislature over the governor's veto has been out of balance. Last year, there was a claim that it was $1.7 billion out of balance. But because of you doing some of the things in the law that were supposed to be done, like shifting money around various state accounts and also better than expected tax returns, that number is now down to only $600 million, which I think Charlie, who follows the budget very closely, can tell us is actually not that bad for an Illinois budget deficit for 1 year. But, they also talked about needing a supplemental appropriation of $1.1 billion. And part of that is because the prisons were so far behind on paying for things like food and health care for the inmates and power and water for the prisons that they ended up using this year's money that finally came in the budget to pay bills from the previous budget year. And so now they're saying that, they're once again things that they're calling it a, quote, monumental challenge in the prisons to just keep the inmates fed, keep the water on, keep the power flowing. And things like health care, those bills are just not being paid again. And that's why they need this supplemental appropriation.
Well, I did want to take a moment here to remember Mary Frances Fagan, who passed away this week. And she, longtime listeners will remember, was our Statehouse Bureau Chief in the 1980s and was heard throughout Illinois on public radio stations. Charlie, you had a chance to work with her and, of course, near her in the old press room at the Illinois Capitol. And just your thoughts and recollections of her.
Mary Frances, or MOFAS, as those of us who loved her called her, was a darling individual. She was sweet, she was kind, she was very bright, she was a consummate reporter, and I just dearly loved her. And she did for me, an old print guy who, my experience with broadcast is basically zero besides being on State Week. She showed me the difference between writing for broadcast and writing for print. I had written some stuff for her to read in a gridiron show. And she said, no, no, that's not how, you can't say that out loud. You know, it was all phrases and clauses and everything. And she showed me how to write tightly, which was very helpful for me. But she was a darling person, and I was just one of her many, many admirers who's going to miss her deeply.
And Amanda, you also had a chance certainly to talk with her quite a bit. Of course, you, myself, we all came along after Mary Frances had left the State House, but you had a chance certainly to get to know her.
Yeah, never had an opportunity to work alongside her per se, but ran into her just in, you know, the political circles that be, and have to say we often had a really good time when we got chatting and had a lot in common, be it love of politics or of fashion and red lipstick. So she is somebody who I think I've been reading a lot of folks' fond memories about MOFE, and definitely sets an example of both how to be a tough journalist and at the same time a kind person who values friendships and gets a lot of value back in return.
And at our nprillinois.org website, you can also find some photos of her and also even some audio from an old State Week program from the 1980s. So that's available there now. It's time for our notes from the field. Brian, let's go to you first.
Yeah, there's an interesting story that we've been following at state government this week. WCIA, which is the CBS affiliate for Springfield, Champaign and Decatur, was set to have the only broadcast downstate televised debate for the gubernatorial campaign. But J.B. Pritzker, I guess it was within the last week or so, turned them down, said he wasn't going to participate. And now the parent company, Nexstar, says that, you know, it looks like they're going to pull the plug on this debate. Daniel Biss, State Senator Biss, and Chris Kennedy have launched petitions to try and keep it going as the only, you know, opportunity for voters to hear from these candidates on television in downstate, talking about downstate issues. And, you know, I think it's worth noting that Pritzker has had the airwaves to himself for the last year or so, and this would be an opportunity to, you know, give some equal time to the other candidates. This company has been making tens of thousands of dollars. I just went and looked at their public files, $23,000 for a week at the end of January. Another file says $15,000 they made from him for another week at the beginning of February. So making a lot of money by letting the candidate run ads. And then when he says he's not going to participate in a debate, not going forward and giving his opponents another, you know, their own opportunity to talk to voters. I hope they reconsider that decision.
Amanda?
Well, speaking of elections up here in the Chicago area, actually the western suburbs, there's a very contested battle between incumbent Congressman Dan Lipinski, and for a change, he's actually getting a lot of his peers in Congress endorsing his opponent, that's Democrat Marie Newman, but getting a free pass in the primary is the one Republican candidate, Arthur Jones, getting a lot of attention because he is a white supremacist, a Nazi, and so that has gotten a lot of attention. The GOP saying it regrets not having paid attention to that, perhaps given voters another option because he, again, is going to be the only choice for Republican voters on that March 20th ballot in the 3rd Congressional District. Illinois' 7 Republican congressmen did come out with a statement saying that they condemn Arthur Jones and his beliefs in denying the Holocaust.
All right, that's all we have time for this week. Members of our broadcast included Charlie Wheeler, Brian Mackey, and Amanda Vinicky. You can get a podcast of our show at nprillinois.org, and production assistance for the program today provided by Bob Meyer. I'm Sean Crawford.
You've been listening to State Week, a program of commentary and analysis of events in Illinois state politics and government. State Week is produced in the state capital by public radio station, NPR, Illinois. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.